right, everyone. It's lovely to see you this morning. Our Bible reading today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. It is on the back of the service sheets. If you got one, my apologies that I forgot to hand them out. If you have a Bible, if you have a Bible in front of you, it is on page 1459. Otherwise, you can listen to me say it out loud and you can see it on the screen during the sermon. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
Thank you, Erin. Isn't that rain beautiful? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you speak to us in the Bible, that you've preserved this account of Luke for hundreds and hundreds of years. Father, help us to, as we look at it now, understand it, not just as a piece of history, Father, but the living God speaking to us. And we pray your Spirit would apply your word to our hearts as we read it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know if you can tell what the image is up on the screen, but it's from an annual event called SantaCon. No prizes for guessing which country this event is held in. Of course, it's the US. No offence to you if you're here from that country. People get dressed up as Santa and they participate in all these activities. Sounds really fun. But the image up on the screen, it's from a brawl that broke out at SantaCon. And nine Santas got involved in the fight and ended up getting arrested. The police had to intervene. Now, no one's 100% sure what caused this Boxing Day come early, I guess, but according to the article I read, there was a substantial amount of alcohol involved, if you'd believe it, and there was rumoured to be an issue where one of the Mrs. Clauses may have ended up with the wrong Mr. Clause, and it caused a bit of tension. So you get this brawl. Anyway, we don't want to see Santa's brawling at Christmas time. But, you know, do you think it's unexpected that we'd see Santa's brawling? Do you think any conflict is unexpected in our world today? You had any conflict this year with anyone? I'm not just talking about conflicts arising out of too many drinks. Globally, conflict is everywhere in our world. Now, I don't know if you want to do this, but if you Google global conflicts currently, they're everywhere. Not just the headline ones that we're engaged with, like in Palestine and the Ukraine, but there are massive wars going on all over the world. This last year alone, over 100,000 people have lost their lives in global conflicts. Over 100,000 people. And it's not a particularly unusual year. It's not just global conflict in our world, though. Closer to home, there's this thing that comes out every now and then in Australia called the Australian Cohesion Index. It's basically this national survey where they're checking how we're getting on together as a society. And in the latest Australian Cohesion Index, it showed that we're getting on less as a society in Australia than we ever have. Basically, we volunteer less because we're less invested in the things that we're volunteering for. We donate less. As a country, we hang out less with each other. We don't commit to societal social groups. We have less pride in our nation. More of us feel like we don't belong in this country than we ever have before. So we're not exactly at war, but there's conflict bubbling away below the surface in Australia. And guess what? there's a state election this year, and there's a US election this year. So that conflict, it's only going to bubble more and more. How are you with conflict? That's one of the questions you get asked when you go for a job. How do you handle conflict? You know what? I can't stand conflict. But somehow, and some of you will know this, conflict manages to find me. It seeks me out. Christmas is a time when we remember that God's offered us peace. Not conflict, but peace. And in this reading, there was a proclamation of peace, a massive proclamation. And we need to understand how we can get it, because it doesn't seem to be around. Let's start with the angel of the Lord and the shepherds from verse 8 in the reading. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Shepherds were like the lowest of the low. They stunk. They weren't really clean people. They weren't part of the everyday society. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. They lay down their life for their sheep, effectively, these guys. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, because this doesn't usually happen. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So there's a lot going on there, right? Angel in the Bible, it just means messenger. It's the same word as messenger. This is a messenger from the Lord. And when it says the Lord, it means the creator of everything, life, you, all of existence. This messenger of that Lord appears to these shepherds, these people who have no real repute in society. Verse 8 says they're out in the fields watching their flocks. And what's the message from the messenger? Verse 10 says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." This news is awesome. Do you want to know how good this news is? This news is so good that people are going to write songs about it, and they'll be singing it hundreds, if not thousands of years later. That's how good this news is. This news is of such great joy that somebody's going to pen a song called "Joy to the World." And people in 2023 will be singing that song. This is good news. It's good news of great joy for all the people. What is the news? What's in verse 11? And to be honest, it comes across as a bit underwhelming the way I build it up, but it does. "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So this is the good news. Jesus, this baby lying in a manger, Jesus, the angel of the Lord declares, is Saviour. More so, he's the Messiah. Do you know what the Messiah is? A lot of you are thinking John Cleese, right? You're thinking Monty Python. I can see you going straight there. You're of that generation. Google the reference if you've got no idea what I'm talking about. What is the Messiah? You know, the Old Testament, like the bit of the Bible from before Jesus was born, it was originally written in Hebrew, which is the language they sort of speak in Israel today. And in Hebrew, the word for Messiah means chosen one. It's the chosen or the anointed King of God. About 1,000 years, which is pretty cool, like it's pretty much close to 1,000 years, before Luke chapter 2 happened, God promised King David that one of his descendants would rule over his people forever. And this descendant would bring peace. This descendant would bring peace that hasn't happened since sin came into the world. This descendant would be the ultimate peacemaker. He'd bring peace forever. That's who the Messiah is. And that's who this angel is telling the shepherds is born. The ultimate peacemaker. The one thing the Messiah, the Christ, does is he rules. But he brings peace to God's people. Do you know what the Greeks call the Messiah? The Christ. It's actually not Jesus' surname. The Christ, the Messiah, is the one who is going to bring peace. He's the one who's going to save us from conflict. And that's very much confirmed by what happens next in Luke's account. From verse 13 we read, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel." Now we've got a full brigade of angels, right, in the sky. And they're saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests. This is a unique moment in the history of the universe. The God who made the sky, the God who stands behind the stars, that God ruptures the sky to make this declaration of peace on earth for those on whom his favour rests. That means those who trust in him. This is a massive declaration. There hasn't been anything like this in human history. God's entered human history to make this declaration. The birth of this child promises peace. I mentioned before that there have been more than 100,000 deaths from conflict in 2023 alone. So where is this peace? When you sing that song, Peace on Earth, Goodwill to Men, where is it? This proclamation, this massive event, happened 2023 years ago. Where is this peace? Even Christians who put their faith in this proclamation, those on whom God's favour rests, they still die. They still go into conflict. I met a guy yesterday who came to church. He's just moved up here to join 2CAV, which is the tank unit in defence. He's here to learn to drive tanks. Tanks aren't instruments of peace. Well, we might say they keep the peace. But they're there because conflict is here. So where is the peace? Where is my peace? I woke up at 2:30 this morning, not because it was raining. I woke up because I worry about things through the night. So I just woke up and then I stayed awake for 4 hours. Where's my peace? Where's your peace? Peace on earth, such a monumental proclamation. The sky ruptured. Where is the peace? The kind of peace this proclamation is talking about, it's a big theme in Luke's gospel. It's the kind of peace Luke talked about in chapter 1 of his gospel. I hope you can hear me okay over the rain. I love the rain, so I'm not going to pray it away or anything like that, right? I don't have that power, but this is the kind of peace Luke talked about in the last chapter, in chapter 1. It's a peace that comes to those living in darkness, to those living in the shadow of death. But it's really important to understand this peace that the angels proclaimed. It doesn't take away the shadow of death, and it doesn't take away the darkness. The peace that was proclaimed, it comes to those living in darkness, and it comes to those living in the shadow of death. Luke's talking about peace with our God, the peace from which all other peace reigns. God made us for peace. We're hardwired for peace. The reason that I hate conflict is because I'm genetically predisposed to peace. The reason you hate conflict is because you're not wired for it. But the Bible's really clear. We've chosen to ignore the God of peace. We've chosen to sin. That's what ignoring God is. We've rejected peace. And so what is the world like? What is the world like today? You don't even need to read the Bible. You don't need to be a Christian to see what the world is like. There is no peace. We talk about it, we pursue it, we have peacekeeping forces, we have an international peace prize. But there is no peace. The biggest conflict from which all conflict flows, the Bible says, is the one we have with our Creator God. Because we're in conflict with God, because we're not right with our Creator, that means when we come to the valley of the shadow of death, when we face our last breath, even though we might have had conflict with one another, we'll face an even greater conflict with our God, who we'll have to face as our judge. God is not somebody who we have peace with. But the Christmas message isn't one of judgment from God. This is not a message of judgment, even though you may think this rain's going to bring the next flood. It's a message of peace, peace from God. The Christmas message is a message of the eternal Lord sending his Son into the world in human flesh to bear God's judgment on behalf of humanity. The Christmas message is one of the Son of God coming into the world to take God's wrath against us on himself, to bring us peace with God if we believe in the Son. That's the peace the angels proclaimed, peace with God. When they ruptured the night sky, they brought that peace. And so now the truth is, if you're like a soldier and your faith is in Jesus, you'll still go to the valley of the shadow of death. But if your faith is in Jesus, you have peace. You close your eyes in peace. To those of us who live in darkness, who feel consumed, if our faith is in Jesus, we have peace. A peace that even death can't take away, because we have peace with the God of life. And filled with that peace, Christians, like if you're here and you call yourself a Christian, you're meant to be an ambassador of peace. You're so secure in God's love for you. You're so secure in the peace that you have with your Creator, that you lay down your life to bring peace, to point people to the God of peace. We're meant to be as bright as the angels that ruptured the night sky in this world. We're meant to show the world God's peace. We know we have peace, and so we're meant to be it. Let me ask you in this very much rain-interrupted sermon, do you have peace? Do you have peace with God? Do you have the peace that God's offered you through the Lord Jesus? Will you close your eyes in peace tonight when you go to sleep, knowing that you're right with the Creator God? When you come to the doorstep of death, will you close your eyes in peace, knowing that you're right with your Creator God? God offers you that peace. If you just simply put your faith in him. And can I tell you, I have a lot of great things in my life. Six of them in the front row here, right? I've got lots of really things that I love. But the one thing that sincerely I love more than any other thing is the peace that I have with my Creator God, because the Lord Jesus has afforded me that peace so I can go to the grave knowing that I'm right with my Lord. Do you have that peace? Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful rain. We thank you for providing for us. And Father, we thank you that despite our sin, despite our recurrent lack of thankfulness, you come to us and you offer us peace, forgiveness and new life through this baby that was born, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for that peace. Help us to turn and put our faith in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.